If someone were to ask the question, are you saved? What would be your reaction? Well, I'll tell you what my reaction was. I was in college at the University of Kentucky, not Florida State University, but the Country Club School of the South, University of Kentucky. But anyway, they had a big area near the student center called the Commons. Most universities have that. And different groups would come there, political and religious groups, and they had the freedom of speech to do, say, or do whatever they wanted to. In fact, one time I was just walking by, I was between classes, and there's a big political rally, and it was the Socialist Workers Revolutionary Party, and this young man came up to me, and he said, would you like to become a Socialist Workers Revolutionary Party member? I said, thank you, no, my blood's red, but my politics isn't. And then I went right on, you know. But anyway, one day they had this group of evangelists there. I don't know what, if they were even connected with any church, organization, what. And I remember we used to, I know this is college kids, but there was one, they would appear, so I'm this one young woman, we called her Sister So-and-so. She'd walk around holding a Bible in her hand and waving it around. And she was stirring up everything. And a friend of mine came up to me. He lived in the same dorm as I did. And he came right up to me and he said, are you saved? Well, at first I was taken aback and then a little angry because he started telling me what I needed to do in order to be reconciled to God. Well, as you know, I've been in church all my life. I was enrolled in the nursery at 6 weeks of age, so there's never been a time I've been out of the church. I didn't even go into rebellion during my high school and college years. So anyway, and here was this fella, and he actually didn't know me, but I took a little offense that he was trying to ask me, you know, if, and I was a Christian. I was sort of, like I said, well, didn't you know, but I didn't have a sign on me that I was a Christian. I didn't carry a big Bible around with me. So in fairness to him, he didn't know. But I took a little offense at it. But rather than prolong this conversation, I told him that I knew God through Jesus Christ, and that settled it with me. Well, we may snicker at the shrink-wrapped, shallow faith of people who speak of salvation as if it is offered at bargain basement prices. But on the other hand, or the other end of the spectrum, there's a tendency by the more sedate or sophisticated or stoic people to sort of strip away the greatness of God in order to fit it into the narrow regions of our small modern minds. You see that all the time. They doubt the miracles. They doubt a lot of things that are supernatural. Well, Nicodemus came to Christ by night. And night in the Gospel of John is more than night. It's ignorance. It's a time of confusion and not knowing. It's strange to find a person like Nicodemus in the dark. Odd, because Nicodemus should have known better. He was a leader of the synagogue, a knowledgeable person. Rabbi, we know, are his first words to Christ. He spoke out of a self-confident, secure worldview. Nicodemus wanted to get a few things concretely defined. Here, Christ launched out into the murky, the unexplored territory, governed not by conventional wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit. Well, it left the once self-assured Nicodemus muttering, "How can this be?" Well, we basically want God in a box. That's basically the way all of us like it, in a nice gift wrap with a bow ribbon on it. But God won't fit into our best-built boxes. Furthermore, Christ said that we can't acquire this new mentality that he was speaking about except from above. Well, we know what from above means, from heaven. As modern, sophisticated people, there is the delusion that we possess vast knowledge to understand the world and to basically be know-it-alls. Y'all know any know-it-all Christians? They have an answer for everything. I did when I graduated from seminary. You should have seen me. I was the brightest, most intelligent preacher you would have ever wanted to have met. Oh my gosh, I was a walking Bible commentary, theology book, just about everything. But you know, I realized something. Someday some elder or deacon was going to slam the car door in my hand in a figurative sense, and it happened. I realized there are limitations to everyone. And you know why? Because God wants us to rely upon Him. Sometimes we can be so full of book knowledge, we tend to forget about the Holy Spirit's guidance and leadership. Am I saying not to have an education? Not at all. But we better be careful, or we're going to strain it out and not have much of a faith, but a dried up old stick type of faith there. But we are a lot of times thinking that we're smarter than the average bear. We think that we know a little bit more than perhaps God does. To know one is saved is not a matter of intellect nor even outward rituals, but a grace-guided life that only God can give. Christ spoke candidly to Nicodemus, who was well-educated, affluent, and comfortable in his lifestyle of wealth. But like Nicodemus, we all need God's grace. None of us are above it. The point was not for Nicodemus to walk away with a more enlightened view of God to satisfy his curiosity, but he needed to ask God's forgiveness for his arrogance in assuming to know all there is to understand about God. That night, Nicodemus was liberated from his own spiritual captivity and no longer imprisoned by his own selfishness, but by God's way. Well, we never hear again of Nicodemus until Christ was crucified and dead. He was one of the few followers who dared to be near the dead Messiah, along with Joseph of Arimathea, who had the tomb for Christ's body. Well, considering that Christ was crucified by the establishment, it's quite a surprise to see Nicodemus, a member of the elite, to be there. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was there at the end, not as a spectator, but as a disciple, and now as a committed follower of the Messiah. At the cross, there is none of that we know it all attitude. In fact, Nicodemus didn't say anything. He brought spices to honor and worship the Son of God, sacrificed for the salvation of the world. Now, even now, God isn't stopped by darkness, questions, or answers, nor contained in smirky, smug pot shots or categories by our own invention. You know, in the Old Testament, it says, is the arm of the Lord too short? Absolutely not. God can do anything He wants to do. You know, a big problem with most of us is we don't pray enough. We assume we're already entitled to it. I've started a little habit of my own, and I'm glad I did. You know what I do? Before I leave the house to go somewhere, I always ask a little prayer that God protect me. Now, am I being superstitious? No, I don't think so. You know how people drive anymore. You know, even crossing the street, a pedestrian, you may, you know, what was it, the Apostle Paul said, you'll be either the quick or the dead, and that's the way I feel about crossing streets. You don't know what could happen. Now, am I saying to be paranoid? No. Or get agoraphobia? No. But what I'm saying is, we need to be in communication with God more. And wonderful things will happen if we only took God at His word. Now, what shall we say then of ourselves? Are we saved? Well, perhaps we may say that we participate in the salvation for which we hope and desire. See, in the Greek, saved is a very fluid word. Actually, the scripture says in the Greek, we are being saved, to be saved, and are in the saving state. So it's not really a one-moment experience. It continues all through our earthly lives and continues when we're in heaven. Did you ever think about that? It's not just one time we make a profession of faith and then go on from there. God is continually walking with us if we allow God to do so. Our actions are seen as a result of faith through imitating Christ by loving, caring, and helping by whatever means God provides for us to do. Did you hear me? I didn't say what we provide or what we create. It's what God chooses to create for us. See, each of us here sitting in this sanctuary have been uniquely created in God's image. And God has a special role in place for you. Yes, your gift may not be the same as your neighbor's or your spouse or your children or grandchildren, but God has gifted you with some unique talents. You need to use those talents. Now you say, well, I don't know what they are. Well, what did I say earlier? Pray to God about it. It may not be, you may not be standing up before thousands of people. You may be asked to wipe a table down. You may be doing a lot of things for the glory of God. There was one fellow, I think if I'm not, Brother Lawrence, he was in the Middle Ages, and he was a monk. And he felt like he glorified God by washing pots and pans in the monastery he lived in. So, you know, don't think you necessarily have to have your name in the newspaper to serve God. You can serve God in so many capacities. And that's the marvelous thing about God. And by the way, if you feel called to do whatever God has, you won't have jealousy or you won't have avarice toward people because you know God wants you to be doing that. And you really will know God wants you to do that. This love that I mentioned does not condemn nor judge others. It does not impose rules upon us either. Instead, it truly makes us free. Now, isn't that a nice thing to know that we are truly free? This salvation extends beyond our immediate selves to others and ultimately to the whole of God's creation. It does not seek the gain of some, like I said, at the expense of others. I want that to be perfectly clear. It is directed especially to those whom the world excludes. Yet we continue to yearn for the fullness of salvation, for a life now and also in the hereafter that truly embodies the wholeness of God's grace, of which nothing can separate us from the Heavenly Father. We live in the confidence that the love of God is forever eternal. And getting back to that college student who asked me that question, I'm glad he asked me that question. Because it started me thinking. Don't ever be afraid of questions. It can only help you out. Aren't you glad I listened to him instead of becoming a Socialist Workers Revolutionary Party member? You know, but truly, listen to God. Listen to others God puts in your pathway. You never know where God may want to lead you. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, Almighty God, on this Sunday, we have looked to you through the Holy Trinity, and as your servants, we seek to do and yield to you whatever necessary to serve you the best way. Help our faith. Help us, O Lord, every day in our lives. When we're facing obstacles out there, when we're facing good times and bad times, when we're facing things that we don't even want to share with others, but we know you are our confidant. Help us always, we know, Lord, through the name of Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.